following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wings up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Taking a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now, let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, the live version if you're watching us on Facebook Live. If not, again, nothing has changed in podcast form, but we get you set for episode number 124 of Inside Eagle Nation. Colin Lacey alongside the voice of the Eagles, just back from Atlanta. I should say, not just back. You're not just back. I am. But
did you have a good Easter?
I did.
Good.
How about you?
A nice chill day.
Hey, that's exactly what a good day sounds like nowadays.
A nice chill day going into another four-game week followed by a five-game week, and it picks up really quickly, not just with conference play, but in just sheer volume, because that five-game week next week is the first of the year. You've also got that trip to Oklahoma coming up in 3 weeks, so this schedule is going to get pretty daunting here pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was good to get home and hang out with some of my family up in the Atlanta area. It just worked out that we were playing Georgia State, just hit 285 for a little bit, and the last I saw of that, and then
You're awful brave.
Well, I didn't have a whole lot of options.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But at the end of the day, got a couple of days with the family, got back, got my first vaccine shot, ready to rock and roll.
Now we just have to wait, what, 3 to 4 weeks
to get
the second one?
Between 21 and 28 days for the second one, something like that.
The vaccine card is my license now, I guess, or my library card, I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Some kind of ID card. I don't know.
Somebody sneezed around me yesterday, and I just whipped it out like it was the, like, keep the hex off of me.
Like you're the limo driver in Dumb and Dumber. It's okay. I'm a limo driver.
But as always, Inside Eagle Nation is presented by our good friends at Arcola Septic. Arcola Septic is your septic services provider to Bullock, Bryan, and adjoining counties, and a great family-owned business that's run by a pair of Georgia Southern alumni. Make sure to give them a call at 912-318-7939 or visit them online at arcolaseptic.com. For both commercial and residential customers, their more than 10 years of experience can help you out with pumping and servicing your septic system, drain field repairs, new system installation, and all of your septic needs. Remember to follow them on Facebook, Arcola Septic, yesterday's Meals on Wheels. A couple of sports starting to wind down. Both golfs had this week off, but Georgia Southern men's tennis fell in both of their matchups this weekend, fell 4-0 at Troy on Friday, and they moved to South Alabama in Mobile, fell 4-1 to the Jaguars. They've got a pair of non-conference matchups this weekend. On Friday against the College of Charleston, 1 p.m. the first serve, and then Sunday they'll make their way up to Kennesaw for a noon first serve against the Owls. Georgia Southern women's tennis have won their last 6 matches now. They got the win against Georgia State on Friday and then a senior day victory against Emory on Sunday with a 6-1 victory. They've won their last 6 and 8 of their last 9 matches.
So both tennis programs have 6 match winning streaks this year, and in the women's case, they set a Sun Belt Conference record for most individual league victories in a season just this last week.
They will wrap up the regular season at home this coming Saturday and Sunday. South Alabama on Saturday, a 10 a.m. first serve, then 10 a.m. as well on Sunday as they take on the Trojans of Troy. Georgia Southern track was in action on Saturday at the USF Invitational. Cameron Mathis finished with 3rd in the 100-meter dash, and then Zakira Williams finished 4th in the 100-meter hurdles. They look ahead to compete at the Gamecock Invitational in Columbia this Friday and Saturday. Georgia Southern softball, a little bit of a tough week. Just haven't been able to really get in a groove after the COVID shutdown. But they fell in all 3 of their matchups this weekend over in Troy, Alabama. 5-0 the final on Friday. Game number 1 of the doubleheader was a 4-0 Troy victory. And then game number 2 was a 5-inning run rule, 9-0 victory for the Trojans. Georgia Southern looks to try to get back to Troy because that is where the Sun Belt Conference tournament is going to be held for the softball side. This weekend, they will hit the road again. We talked about it at the beginning of the season. They only have 3 of the 8 Sun Belt Conference series Three of them are home. They have five of them on the road. This is one of the back-to-backs. They'll take on Coastal Carolina Friday, 5 p.m. first pitch, and then Saturday with a doubleheader starting at 1 p.m. But talking to their SID, Chad Jackson, yesterday, he was talking about, yes, this team is 0-8 in conference play so far, but at the beginning of it, you've got the two toughest teams. And so you've got Troy, who is number one in the Sun Belt. They've swept all three of their first series. And then you've got Louisiana, and we've talked about that. We talked about it with Jay Walker last week, the tradition of really good softball down in Louisiana against the Raging Cajuns. So now you're starting to get to, I don't want to say more like opponents, but kind of the mortals of the Sun Belt Conference.
Well, you combine that with barely coming off of a COVID pause, and that's not typically a good recipe. But you have to go through it sometimes to get to it, so maybe that's the learning experience. That's where the improvement process can begin. It's not necessarily how you're going to start the year, but if you can roll into the tournament hot, get back to Troy, erase some of those bad memories, and still make it a good finish to the season.
Georgia Southern will continue on the baseball diamond, but it was a little bit of a tough week for Georgia Southern baseball this past week. Tuesday, it started against the College of Charleston here at J.I. Clements. 6-3 was the victory for C of C, and that was when you and I talked about it after the game, that Georgia Southern feels like they probably should have won that game, not just in the game, but a College of Charleston team that Georgia Southern defeated pretty handily about a month earlier. But coming out of that game, you kind of had the same feeling that we talked about it the previous week against Clemson. Put that one behind you because you've got Sun Belt Conference play coming up that weekend.
And CFC played really well defensively, yeah, especially up the middle, turning a couple of double plays, thwarting a couple of other rallies. They pitched a heck of a lot better than they did in that first matchup at Patriots Point. We mentioned the lefty Zach Williams. Having seen him 2 years ago, it's so tough to make comparisons because it's been that long. But in two starts against Georgia Southern 2 years ago, he was very good. Coming into that matchup here at J.I. Clements last week, ERA was four different numbers. That's not good, but he went three innings of one-hit ball. So things level out in baseball. Eventually you do it so much, you regress to the mean, whether you naturally improve or you naturally regress, and I think Williams needed an outing like that. He gets his second save. It wasn't so much that Georgia Southern was bad, it's just that CFC was that good, and they had to make every play to just beat the Eagles, especially after that dominant loss up at Patriots Point back in late February.
Georgia Southern would then move on and take on the Georgia State Panthers this weekend. And we talked about it a little bit over the weekend, and I say a little bit kind of tongue-in-cheek. But to paint the picture of our view, normally, and we've talked about it before, we're up in the press box where on the far right of the press box where our booth is, the tree over the first base dugout blocked your view of right field.
Yeah, we don't just say that to throw shade on them. Huh, tree shade. We don't just say that to do that, but you literally cannot see right field from the visiting booth at Panthersville.
But, and we've talked about our setup around the league, not only with baseball, but with basketball. We had to move broadcast locations a lot of times because of COVID-19 concerns. Right. Since it's a little bit smaller of a press box up in Panthersville, we were put on a table under a tent right behind the backstop. And so we were, they've got kind of a straight line behind the backstop, and then it fans out towards the dugouts. We were right on the corner of the fan. And so had the table set up there, got some good conversations with Lawson Humphreys coming to get foul balls.
Yeah, the on-deck guys, the coaches and the players that were retrieving foul balls, some of the catchers that were picking up wild pitches, they visited us quite a bit over the weekend. Very different being field level just to the right of home plate, but I will say you could really feel a fastball.
Yeah.
Now, you could see the tilt of a breaking ball naturally, but being upstairs, you never really know what a fastball feels like until you're there, you're at the same level. And it didn't matter who it was, whether it was Chase Dolander, whether it was Tyler Owens, whether it was Ben Johnson, whose fastball looked really good coming out of the bullpen in Game 2. It's something you could really feel being that close to the field.
Yeah, and you really got an appreciation for not only Chase Dolander's fastball, because that was the first time we had been really up close and personal with it, but you talk about Tyler Owens' changeup, I think a Cameron Jones changeup on Sunday for Georgia State,
yeah,
and seeing how much it moved and getting a different perspective, I think gives you a little bit more of an appreciation for those guys.
Unfortunately, games 2 and 3 did not go the way game 1 did, but like we were expecting, when you have a game to start a series that is so lopsided, you know it's going to be a grind. Now, we didn't expect it to be both of a grind in those last 2 days. Yeah, for game two, you probably had to dig in and hope to scratch one out, but then game three on Saturday turned out to be the same way. But I look at this as not only leading into a four-game week, getting a chance to go to Athens tonight, but there's always that moment about midway through the season with a Rodney Hennen coach team where it's, okay, this is where the leap happens. Yep. This is the jumping off point. And I don't know what's going to happen tonight in Athens at Foley Field. I have no idea. We haven't left yet. We still got to talk to Skip before we hit the road for the 3-hour trip.
We still got a lot to do before we
got a lot to take care of before we hit the road up to Clark County. But typically this is about the time of the year where the leaping off point happens. And I would think that after as difficult a series loss as last weekend was, this is going to be the time where that explosion happens.
Thursday, it was a 23-1 victory for Georgia Southern over the Panthers, and then Friday and Saturday, it was a final in 10 innings on Friday, fell 6-7, or 7-6, rather, in the walk-off form for Georgia State, and then a 3-2 loss at the hands of the Panthers. And dropping those last two, we talked with Coach Hennen after the game, after both of those, and it was a sense of, you've got to find that spark that, yes, you've had guys on base. You think back to the first Georgia game here at J.I. Clements. You had runners on base with an opportunity to tie it in the ninth inning against the Bulldogs. But at the end of the day, you don't get that big hit. And I think that's the piece that Georgia Southern has been missing. Who is going to be the person, or who are going to be the people to give you that big hit when you need it late in the game? And we've talked about it a couple of times, especially this weekend, how you haven't had that late inning rally that really Georgia Southern baseball has been known for the last couple of years.
Have not won a single game this year when trailing after the sixth inning. Typically, you're good for at least 10 of those per year. Now, Georgia Southern has still been very good against bullpens, hitting about .300 against opposing relievers this year. The ERA is up near 6. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked in that respect yet. Now you can be funny and say, well, they used up all their big hits on Thursday. 10 extra base hits. You win 23-1 on Thursday. Didn't have enough the last day. God, come on. You have to be ready to go every day in baseball, because as good or bad as one game is, the next day is totally independent of that. Baseball momentum is a mirage. It's only as good as the way you can pitch, the way you can defend, and the way you can selectively hit. Sometimes the Eagles do two of those. We don't know which two they're going to do. Sometimes they do all three, and it looks like they're going to go to the College World Series. But they're looking to be more consistent in doing all three, because when they have two, you get instances like this weekend where you do all three on Thursday, but you get two of them on Friday. You kind of get two of them on Saturday, but you're just missing something. It's that indescribable something that's keeping this team from being where they could be. Now, look, the talent's there. But you look at a 13-13 record, you can also say, well, the schedule's been more difficult. Rightfully so. You play two top 10 teams now in Tennessee and East Carolina. You go 1-5 against them. Could have won three or four of those games. But eventually, being battle-tested isn't going to be good enough. You have to use those experiences to improve from them and take it to teams that you know you can take down. And an instance like tonight against Georgia, had the bases loaded here about a month ago. Had a chance to win that game. Never led. But after an intentional walk to Mason McCorder brings up Austin Thompson with a shot to win the game. Now, it worked out for Georgia. It did work out for Georgia. But who knows? If AT finds a gap, maybe that game goes 12, 13 innings. Maybe he finds enough to go over the wall for a walk-off grand slam. That would have been wonderful. And maybe the direction of the season would have been changed. But there is going to be a moment where somebody is going to step up after the seventh inning with a chance to make a memory. I'm not talking about Mason McCorder hitting for a cycle memory, because that game was well in hand. But there's going to be a chance very, very soon where somebody is going to come through and this team is going to take off. Eagles take off. I know. Haha. But it is going to happen.
And you kind of see the same thing happening with the Georgia State team. And we've talked about it this weekend, how, yes, this was a team that came into the weekend with 5 victories, but this is also a team that played 18 Power 5 opponents. Their first 14 were against top 25 opponents. And we were talking with Brad Stromdahl on Thursday when we got to the field that the average fastball that they saw in those first 18 games was 93 miles an hour.
Yeah, they were schooled
to it. Average.
Yeah, they were ready.
And so this is a team that has, like we talk about a lot, gone through it to get to it, and now you're starting to see them turn the corner of, okay, yes, you're not facing Kamar Rocker and Jack Leiter every night, but, yeah, that didn't work out so well.
Doesn't work out for anybody.
No.
Leiter's get up 9 hits in 41 innings this year.
Yeah, no thanks.
9 hits in 41 innings.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. But this is a team you start to see turn the corner in this Georgia State program under second-year head coach Brad Stromdahl, and it was a late-inning rally that they had against Georgia Southern. You talk about it in the 10th inning. We talked about it on the broadcast. You make a freshman beat you. Blaine Marchman comes up, has the hit, and it's ball game over. And it's somebody stepping up and banking that big hit and being able to take that next step.
You got to think about what they're trying to do as well. Every team is trying to do the same thing. They're trying to find that mechanism that helps them click. Look, you could say that they had five wins, but the schedule was conducive to them having five wins. The pitching probably didn't accurately tell who they are with the ERA. The batting average probably doesn't accurately tell who they are because of all that competition. The rest of the league is going to figure it out soon enough, because I don't know if they're going to finish last in the East. They still might. You don't know what's going to happen for the final 2 months of the season. But everybody is looking to find that click element. It's just unfortunate that they chose Georgia Southern to click, because on the other side, the Eagles are, well, now what? It's 13-13 going to Georgia. You might be under 500 going to ULM this weekend, a team that you can very easily beat, but another ULM team that can really swing the bats. Their schedule hasn't been nearly as daunting. They're still trying to figure out their pitching, but that's a motivated team. That's a team that likes to put pressure on you with the bunt and the speed game. Mentally, though, you've got to find a way to drop it. Whether you play well or you play poorly, you've got to drop it and just take that day for that day. Play as well as you can that day.
I was thinking about it on Sunday after the series, and you look at the Sun Belt Eastern Division, and we've talked about how much of a juggernaut the Eastern Division is in a couple of different sports, but especially for baseball. You've got South Alabama, you've got Coastal Carolina in this league, and obviously Georgia Southern is probably always going to be the third in the preseason, again, like they were this year.
And that's just the nature of the league, because you've got a team that 5 years ago won a national championship.
Correct.
That's the fact. That's what you're going to deal with.
And so you always think that Troy's going to be below you, and then you always kind of pencil in Georgia State in that last spot in the Sun Belt. The two that are below you have taken two out of three from you, and that's not a knock on Georgia Southern. That's just showing you how tough this Eastern Division really is.
Anybody in this league can beat anybody in this league on any given weekend, and the way that the tournament is going to go this year with pool play, that's a much different format. That's something the ACC has used for a number of years, and of course we will cover that plenty more once we get towards the end of May. You can't let a weekend determine your season this early, but what you can do is let it motivate you to not feel that way. But you still have to execute on the field. You've got to be able to make the basic plays defensively. You've got to throw first pitch strikes, which, by the way, in Game 3, Georgia Southern was phenomenal getting ahead of batters. 29 times in 35 hitters, first pitch strikes. That's absurdly good. But it doesn't always work out that way.
And one final point I wanted to bring up before we put the Georgia State series to bed. Everybody talks about how all the pitching failed Georgia Southern this weekend. I don't think it did.
Not at all.
Jordan Jackson on Saturday, and it still seems odd the third game was on Saturday.
It was Saturday.
But Jordan Jackson and Coach Hinnon talked about it in the post game in the Ford Clubhouse report, that might have been the best that Jordan Jackson has looked this year. He was really good on Saturday. Chase Dolander, his line doesn't look great, but he wasn't that bad on Saturday. Thursday. It's like Central Time.
Just leave Sunday out of here. Thursday, Friday, Saturday from this week.
On Thursday, Tyler Owens looked really good, and he gets overshadowed by 23 runs on the board, but he only gave up one run. And being able to do what the Georgia Southern pitching staff did, you had Jacob Parker come in, you had Ben Johnson really look good. I know he took the loss on Friday, but it was a bloop double and then a ground ball through the left side. It's not like he got knocked around.
And even with Nick Jones in Game 3, he gives up the two-out RBI double in the seventh inning. Another, look, I'm not going to say it was scalded. It wasn't exactly just tossed out there, but it wasn't that well struck. And you could see what Jones was capable of. He struck out the next four batters. He continues his amazing 2021. You just need to find that element that's going to make this team what it's capable of doing. Tyler Owens is going to continue to be Tyler Owens. He's given up one earned in three conference starts. And look, we're not going to see him tonight. By the way, it's his birthday today.
Happy birthday, T.O.
Happy birthday, T.O. He was up at Georgia last year, 6 2/3, helped the Eagles win at Foley against a team that was number 3 in the country. You know he's going to be getting the ball on Friday against ULM, which we'll talk about in our final segment. He has taken it to another place. the fact that the fastball continues to thrive, people are so worried about the changeup, which you're going to get, but he is showing so much faith in that fastball this year, it's allowed him to fill that number one spot. And sometimes Chase Dolander is going to strike out 13 guys. Other times it's going to be Troy or Georgia State. That's what you get when you're a freshman. And this is what we talked about with Rodney Hennon. For a true freshman, everything you do in your first year, you're doing it for the first time. You have to manage that. You have to figure out what makes you successful and what's going to help you get to where you want to be. Now, the first batter of the game, Kyle Riesman, no shot. Three pitches, three strikes, backwards K on the fastball. But then they started to jump him. He started to let the fastball up. He wasn't locating the slider. He walked a couple of guys in the fifth inning. It caused him to leave. The stuff is absolutely there. It's just about using it in the right way to make him the pitcher that he is eventually going to turn out to be. And by the way, the Georgia Southern bullpen, ERA around 3.5 this year, bullpen's holding up.
Yeah.
Bullpen's doing quite well. 8 of 8 in save opportunities. Let's hope that that is even more so tonight, and which should be a staff situation for both teams. I'm excited to get to Foley Field, but I'm also excited to see how this team responds, because this is a punch. Last week was a week that, in theory, should have been a win-stacking week. CFC had struggled. They were playing better. Beat them pretty handily the first meeting of the season, and then a struggling Georgia State team. But you go 1-3. If this is the point, then we can look back at it and say this is where the season changed.
It's another four-game week this week. It starts tonight, 5 o'clock, the first pitch up in Foley Field in Athens. It's Georgia Southern and the University of Georgia. You know this is one that I'm not going to call it a rivalry, but at the end of the day, this is a in-state game. You're playing the quote-unquote charter institution in the state of Georgia, and this is one where this is a game where recruiting battles are won. This is a game where you've got guys that might be trying to decide between Georgia and Georgia Southern, and if Georgia Southern comes and has a good showing against Georgia, knocks off the Bulldogs again, it's one that could sway a potential, I'm not going to say game changer, but it's a potential recruit that Georgia Southern's trying to steal away from Georgia and being able to bring him to Statesboro.
Yeah, and I would say that baseball is the sport that you're going to compete with the most if you're talking about Georgia Southern, Georgia Tech, Georgia, maybe Mercer, maybe Kennesaw State, maybe Georgia State, because you have so much availability to play Division I in this state. Football, here and there you're going to get competition, but not a whole lot. Maybe in the transfer market you can luck out into a couple. Basketball, every so often. But baseball is the one, if you've got somebody that's on the fence, and then you come here to Statesboro March the 11th last year and watch Georgia Southern beat the number two team in the country in front of a packed house.
That was fun.
If you're trying to decide between one of the two, you're going to go to the team that commits three errors and kicks it around, or you're going to go with the home team that just dominated every phase of the game? Another Tyler Owens pitched game. Which way are you going to go? If that's the one that's going to hinge on your decision, that's what you're going to base your next 4 years on. Tonight is a game that could help the Eagles immensely in recruiting. Of course, it'll be on the SEC Network Plus. But for those that are lucky enough to make the trip to Foley, if they can be there and they can feel it, and they can feel Georgia Southern do it again, get back on track after not beating Georgia earlier this year, that's going to help you not only get on track this season, but it's going to help the future of your program. These are games that are really important.
And it's one that has the potential to be a staff day for both sides. Georgia Southern going to send Jalen Payton out for his second consecutive midweek start. But he looked pretty good last week. I know it was a tough game against the College of Charleston, but he looked pretty good.
You had a drop fly and right that resulted in two runs. CFC is a team that's figuring it out on offense despite being mostly a right-handed team. I thought the fastball looked pretty good for Payton. He goes 4 2/3. He ends up giving up 8 hits, but on 80 pitches, he gave more than I was expecting. And when you're giving the ball to a guy for the very first time in terms of a starting situation, you're hoping for 9 outs, maybe 12 outs. Maybe he can get into a little bit of a heater and just keep getting guys left and right. I liked what I saw, and the ability to keep his hat on, because we give him gut for losing his hat on big pitches. Ben Johnson deals with the same thing, but he threw the fastball with really good velocity. It had that sizzle. It had that run. It had that life that we talked about with Ben going back to the bullpen against Georgia State. He was able to show a good hook. If he can keep the number of hits down, I think he can get into the fifth inning again and then let the bullpen figure itself out. But you've got to figure out how you're going to manage the bullpen if you're Georgia Southern. In Georgia's case, their last two midweek games, they've thrown 8 pitchers each game. So even though Hank Bearden is starting, I don't see him going much more than six outs, and they're going to try to use a lot of their freshmen like they did before.
So we transition to the ULM Warhawks. ULM will come into the matchup 10-14 overall, 3-6 in conference play. We bring in the man that knows everything about the Warhawks in Mike Hammett, the voice of the ULM Warhawks. Mike, appreciate you joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
This is a ULM team that we're going to get to plenty in the next couple of minutes, but the one place that we've got to start, and I think we've already had this conversation before, but we need to clear it up for Eagle Nation. There's a guy for the ULM Warhawks that we have seen for the last couple of years, and his name used to be Ryan Humanick.
Yes.
Now it is no longer. We need the story.
Okay. So I arrived, my first season was 2 years ago, the 2019 season, and I got here, that was his first season as well, and I get around the program, everybody calls him Ryan Humanick. Everybody. And so I'm like, okay, let's... what we're rolling with. And I met last year before the shutdown. He was our first guest on our coach's show, and you know, I just I met his parents. His parents were down from Canada. He's from up in Manitoba, and his parents were down and his met his dad in this restaurant as loud, and I heard him say the name, but it was different than what I'd been hearing, you know, been saying all along. And so I didn't hear it clearly. We didn't have another game again before we played once more, so or before the shutdown. So then I went to Ryan this year, and Ryan's a great kid. He helped me move into my house. I mean, like, I felt awful. And I went, Ryan, I said, I know you're too nice to tell me otherwise that I'm saying it wrong, but it's your last year. We've got to get it right. It's Ryan Humanyuk is what he told me. Humanyuk. So that's kind of the story there anyway.
That's incredible. Give us kind of a overview of this ULM team. I know we talked about it, 10-14 overall, 3-6 in conference play, but what does this ULM team really prove to you?
You know, this team so far, I'll say right now, the biggest issue this team has, they're trying a little too hard. They're pressing. I mean, it's this group, they're good. It's a talented team. Last year they started off 12-5 before we got everything shut down. They were 12-2 before losing the last game of the McNeese series, then dropping a double midweek to Ole Miss to close it out. But there's a lot of expectations on this team because of that. They had three games where they scored 20 or more runs a year ago. They pitched it pretty well a year ago, and they defended very well a year ago. Well, this year they've had some issues defending at times. The offense has not been anywhere close to what we saw a year ago. It's had its moments where it's provided some life. The Oklahoma State midweek a few weeks ago is one of those spots where they really played very well. And then, you know, it's just pitching wise, it's been pretty good at times, but then they've had those innings where it's just snuck up on them. Trey Lindsey's been phenomenal out of the bullpen this year. He's won a Sun Belt Pitcher of the Week award, but this last week against the school that we shall not name, the Raging Cajuns, that he really struggled spotting some of his pitches. He gave up six runs, four of them earned, and gave up a six run inning. They rallied from a seven run deficit. The bullpen's had a few spots where it's blown up. Otherwise, they've been lights out. There's very little in between with that group. So, you know, I think it's a group that they're just still trying to deal with the expectations, still trying to find themselves a little bit. And really, they just need to relax and play ball. They're a talented bunch, and just they need to take a step back, take what's given to them instead of trying to come through, you know, with the big strikeout every time or the big home run ball or whatever. Just come and take what's given to you and let it roll.
This is a ULM team that was scheduled to play Alabama twice this week. It was supposed to be tonight at 6:00, then tomorrow at 3:00. But news coming out yesterday, Adam Hunsucker, I think, had it first, where ULM and Alabama mutually agreed to cancel today's game because of mounting injuries on both teams. You will still play tomorrow against the Tide at 3 p.m. over at Sewell Thomas Stadium. But when you look at what that decision kind of came from, take us into the minds of both of the coaches, really. But I know you know Fed pretty well.
Yeah, and it was, you know, Fed got a phone call about all that to discuss what they wanted to do this week. And, you know, for the Warhawks right now, we're down three guys, three major offensive and defensive pieces, really. Trace Henry's been the leadoff batter. when he's been healthy, tweaked a hamstring against Texas State on a leadoff triple in the Sunday game down there in San Marcos, and left that game, hasn't played since. And with the way the conference tournament's structured this year, too, they're not in a hurry to rush him back or anything. You know, you want to be playing well when you get to the end of May. Right now is, yeah, of course you want to win and get something good going, but at the end of May is where you really want to be going, so they want him fully healthy there. Logan Worm took a bat to the side of the head on a backswing down at Texas State as well, and he has not been back since then yet, going through the protocols and all that. And then Danny DeSimone, the first baseman, he has been battling back and shoulder issues this season, and then took a ball that kind of jammed him at Texas State a little bit, and so he's been fighting through some stuff still, and again, just trying to get him healthy and ready to go. So for ULM, it's a matter of they wanted to be able to, one, keep some pitching ready for this weekend at Georgia Southern. And for Alabama, too, I mean, they've just been struggling a little bit with conference play. I mean, who wouldn't when your first three conference weekends are, I believe, what, Alabama, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, or excuse me, Arkansas, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee. So, I mean, who wouldn't struggle with that schedule? So it's just been, you know, I think for both teams, an opportunity to take a step back. ULM still wanted a game, at least at Alabama, so that's what was agreed to, is they're going to play this one on Wednesday so that they can break up the trip to get to Statesboro. So that way we're not driving that whole distance in one day. We're going to go to Tuscaloosa today, play a game tomorrow, and then head on down to Statesboro on Thursday.
Mike, the most important thing we're wondering is, when you were in San Marcos, did you go to Black's Barbecue?
I did not.
Oh, come
no,
on.
I know. I've been traveling with the team, so I've been trying to stick with the protocols this year and be good and everything. Now they've kind of loosened that up a little bit, and you know, I've gotten half of my vaccine anyway, so you know, it's we're starting to get there a little bit. I did get to go walk to a nearby restaurant on this last trip, so you know, I mean, it's we're getting there to be able to go around other people and go to these places. But no, I'm usually not a big explorer, because you know, I do the radio thing, but I'm also the SID too, so there's not a lot of free time in my world, so I try to make it every now and then. But yeah, no, I did not make it down there. No.
Take us into the offensive side for this ULM team. You talked about some of the injuries that you guys have had. You look at Travis Washburn leading the team with a .323 average. But what has really the offensive side for this ULM squad been like?
It's just been – it hasn't been what they want it to be. I'll put it that way, because they want to be able to scratch across, you know, a run here, a run there. You know, the big innings are great, and they've done several big innings, but then it's typically they'll hit one early in the game, first or second inning, and then they don't get anything the rest of the game. And so the perfect example is the opening game of the Texas State series. They strike for four in the top of the first against the Bobcats, and then only it's tacked on two more runs the rest of the game. It's just – it's been very inconsistent. When they're on, it's a fun bunch. They have the ability to knock it out of the park every now and then, but they like to, you know, play small ball. They like to go opposite field on some of these hits and get a guy on base and run a little bit. Mason Holt with 12 stolen bases on the year, he's been the spark plug of the offense. He's been struggling a little bit lately, but coming off a three-hit game on Saturday against the Cajuns, that they're hoping he's starting to pick it back up again. Andrew Beasley's been struggling a little bit this year for a second-year senior that they are hoping for, you know, big things out of this year. He's hitting just around .250. Yeah, there's just some inconsistencies that they're trying to get ironed out right now. And to get a guy like Trace Henry back, Trace is probably the fastest guy on the team, but he's been out. They're hoping that maybe he can go this weekend. To get Danny DeSimone back, he's the power in the middle of the order. Logan Worm's just a veteran guy, but if you look at his splits, his situationals, he's a guy that he's only around a 200 hitter. But with runners on base, he's all the way up around .330, .340. I mean, he comes through in the clutch. He's been so good this season. So, you know, that's what they're looking for. They like to play small ball in that speed. They have guys that have power that can knock it out, put it in the gap and whatnot. But that's where they've had their success. They had success against Ole Miss, just laying down bunts, stealing bases, making them make bad decisions. They've done that against Oklahoma State. I mean, it's a team that can do some really great things, and it's also a team that at times has really struggled to only put up 3 runs and lose 15-3 to Grambling. So, I mean, there's just it's up and down across the board. They just want to level things out, play some consistent baseball, and that's really their big focus right now is finding that consistency, especially on the offensive side.
And the last time we saw you on the field, it was March of 2019 at Warhawk Field. You took 2 of 3 from the Eagles, and I remember after that first game of the series, the pitching dramatically improved, and I thought about the start that Ty Barnes had and the way that Landon Longsworth came out of the bullpen. Seems like those two have been important just as much as Lindsey has this year.
Yeah, Ty Barnes is they're the two veteran guys out of that for the Warhawk pitching staff. Barnes was supposed to be the Friday night guy to open the year, and they were counting on Tyler Dan slotting in the Saturday spot. Really struggled his first 2 outings, so they moved him out. Cam Barlow was fantastic in the midweek. He was the Saturday starter a year ago. They moved him back to the weekend, so that slid Barnes to Saturday just to make everything work out. But Barnes is a guy that when his breaking ball and his changeup are going, he's very tough. He's had a great outing this year against, I believe that was the Ole Miss, or check that, the Nichols series before that, that he really came out, pitched very well. And he's had a couple outings where he's really seemed like the Ty Barnes of old. The Georgia State game was one, too, where he came out, I believe took a no-hitter into the sixth inning and just, he looked like the guy who threw a complete game shutout against UT Arlington a couple years ago and took a couple no-hitters into the sixth and seventh last season early. When he's on, he's great. He missed his start at Texas State due to illness, got some food poisoning or something on the road. And so he missed that start, started the Thursday game against the Cajuns and could just tell wasn't quite right, still just a little rusty, not in his rhythm. So they're hoping now with more so a normal week with him to get him going this week, and hopefully he can go well Friday. And then looking at Landon Longsworth, I mean, he's a guy who's been up and down a little bit too, but when he's on, his fastball sits, you know, probably low mid-90s, but then he brings that breaking ball and a changeup that he takes probably a good 15 miles an hour off of some of those pitches. I mean, it's a great speed change for him. Makes it very difficult on hitters when he's on. He's maybe the toughest arm out of that ULM bullpen.
One thing I wanted to touch on with you is you've gotten to know Mike Federico over the last couple of years since he took over at ULM and really starting to build that culture around that Warhawk program. I know we've seen a lot of junior college transfers the last couple of years, but what does kind of off the field look like for this ULM team under Fed?
You know, they're fairly loose for the most part. I mean, I think a lot of baseball teams are just at the college level. I mean, these guys are they like to have fun with each other. Landon Cato's a guy I'm sure we'll see this weekend that he's just got cleared. He's a freshman, but he is the big prankster on the team that he on our last road trip to Texas State, he bought a cowboy hat at the gas station we stopped at and said, "This is our new home run hat." Now, I haven't seen it yet because we haven't really hit any home runs since then. But we'll see what happens if they can get some long ball going if that hat comes out. But they've got some guys that are keeping it light. They have guys that are very serious, like Ryan Humanyuk's one of those guys, very locked in, focused. He doesn't joke around a bunch. But, you know, they've got some guys that keep it light, keep it fun. It's a group that I think genuinely likes being around each other. So, you know, they give each other a hard time all the time. It's a typical baseball team. They're guys that don't take things all that seriously. And that just needs to translate on the field. Don't take the game so seriously. They've just been pressing so much. Just relax, play the game, and they'll be fine. And I hope we'll see, hopefully close to finding that a little bit.
Now, the most important question we're going to ask you, whenever you get into town on Thursday, where you want to go to dinner? Or what kind of food you looking for at least?
Goodness, I haven't thought that far ahead yet. you know, and that's the thing, guys. When I've been to Statesboro before, I mean, I haven't been there for baseball yet. I missed out on the football trip. You know, I've been there for women's basketball for like a day. So, I mean, I really haven't had a chance to go around and really know what's there, but I'm sure you guys have some fantastic stuff. So, heck, I'm not even sure what I'm looking for. I guess I need some suggestions.
We'll surprise you whenever you get into town. How about that?
Sounds good.
Mike, appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend, and safe travels down to Statesboro.
All right, thanks, guys. Looking forward to seeing you this weekend.
Once again, that's Mike Hammett, the voice of the ULM Warhawks. Always good to catch up with Hammett.
He is such a good dude.
But it'll be Georgia Southern and the ULM Warhawks coming up this weekend, as it'll be a 6:30 first pitch on Friday, 2 o'clock the first pitch on Saturday, high noon on Sunday. And it's something that we talked about a little bit with Georgia State. I think Georgia Southern has kind of settled in on what their weekend rotation is going to look like. Tyler Owens has been really good his first three Sun Belt Conference starts. You've got Chase Dolander on Saturday, has struggled a little bit, but starting to really put everything together in his first season in Statesboro. And then Jordan Jackson, again, looked really good on that Saturday, which will turn into Sunday.
Yeah, I would think that Jordan takes over the number three role. And granted, he could come out this weekend and not go well, and that could be up in the air once more. But the good thing is T.O. has been T.O. on Friday. They've won the last five games he has pitched on Friday, which has been great to start the weekend because they haven't been very good finishing weekends, and maybe that can be the first part of the jumping forward point. With Dolander, we saw him struck out 13 on this field a couple of weeks back. The two road starts have left a little bit to be desired, but as a freshman, you continue to learn to be a college pitcher, because in high school you throw as hard as he does, you can get people out just because they want to say, hey, I swung at 95.
Right.
I'm taking a shot at this. I don't care where it is. But he's going to keep improving. And then with Jordan, of course, a Friday guy last year, then a weekend guy, then a midweek guy, then a reliever, now a weekend guy again. If he has his slider, we saw how good it was to start at bats last Saturday. I think he's going to be just fine. And then out of the bullpen, if Parker keeps throwing like he was, if Ben Johnson continues to be himself, and then I mean, with Nick Jones, I know he gave up the RBI double on Saturday, but Bones has just been so good this year.
And with Dolly, I think one of the things that gets lost in translation, we talk about everything that he does this year is the first time he's done it. Yes, he struggled against Troy. That's his first Sun Belt Conference opponent.
Right.
And when you look at Georgia State, yes, he's been 3 weeks now into Sun Belt Conference play, but he had to move his start up a day, starting on Friday instead of Saturday. It was still the middle game of the series, and so you go through everything, but it throws off your routine having to move everything up a day, and so you wonder if that played into it. I don't know if it did. I'm not a pitcher, obviously, but being able to get back kind of into a routine, get back into what you know, it's got to be really good for him.
And knock on wood for him, the rest of the way, it should be Friday through Sunday until the final weekend of the regular season. We'll go back to Thursday, Saturday to get the pitching staffs an extra day of rest before everybody goes to Montgomery for the conference tournament at Riverwalk Stadium. Getting the extra day this week, I'm interested to see how it affects everybody, not just Georgia Southern having to play tonight. How are they going to manage the bullpen arms? I mean, we know that Jalen Payton is going to get the ball up at Foley Field. Do you only throw him 2-3 because you want him for the weekend, which we've seen Rodney Hennon do that before? Do you say the ball is yours? Go get me 12-15. We're not going to worry about you this weekend. We've got enough depth. But that's all that pitching process between him, between BJ Green, as to how they want to utilize their arms this week. Because now that you're 500, you don't want to get under 500, especially this point in the season. Could 14-13 would sound great. A win over Georgia would be awesome to come back to town with, but really needing to handle business this weekend against ULM. It's a home series where the Eagles have been very good. Packed promotional schedule. Eagles are going green on Saturday, their sustainability weekend. So I think that this is going to be the time where we are going to see what this team is capable of. I'm not going to say it's going to be an extended stretch, but as bad as last weekend was from the standpoint of not doing what they felt they should have, they're going to try to flip that around as quickly as they can and get things back on track.
It all starts tonight up in Foley Field in Athens. 5 o'clock the first pitch will be on the air at 4:30 from Foley Field. Yeah, we got a lot to do in a little bit of time.
Well, we've got to talk to him here in a little bit. We're going to get our car. We're going to head up to Clark County, maybe get some food on the way. I don't know exactly.
Oh, no, there will be food along the way.
I know we've been up there before, but there's not a whole lot of stops. It's a straight shot north, but there's not a whole lot of – well, we do got to go through Augusta.
Yeah, go through Augusta, go through Waynesboro.
See the new press box at Burke County.
At some point, because we talked about it on Saturday, how my cousin Brandon, who was coming down and hung out with us on Saturday, he and I were going to stop at the Varsity on our way home, but we walked in and the line was out the door, and I didn't want the Varsity that bad.
Well, especially right now.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so we might have to stop at the Varsity in Athens.
I didn't think about it. We did that before.
We did.
Last time we were up for a basketball. Last year.
That's right.
That's hard to believe. That was just last year.
Yeah, no kidding. Anthony Edwards. Anyway,
Yes, he was.
Georgia Southern and Georgia tonight, 5 o'clock the first pitch. We will talk to you at 4:30 with the Eagle on Deck Circle. That'll wrap things up for us. For the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.